You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, everyone, and welcome or welcome back to Take A Bow Podcast. I'm Sydney Lucas.
And I'm Eli Tokash. And today we have Celecia Thomas on. And if you don't know Celecia Thomas, she is a Disney princess. She is a pageant queen. She is a Broadway star. She's literally the brightest human that I've ever met. And I'm so thankful to have her on for our Thanksgiving episode. Happy Thanksgiving, yay! By the way, everyone. Yes, so this is very exciting. And we talk about Disney. She worked at Disney and she worked on Beautiful on Broadway. And she's worked it with me and Trevor. And she just has a bunch of incredible stories of her journey and how she made it to where she is today. So we hope you enjoy.
Celecia Thomas, curtain up!
Today's guest is someone that I'm incredibly thankful for, as it is the holiday season, and she's literally been one of the largest impacts in my life from, like, someone that I've worked with, and she has been going from job to job in the last 5 years because she is so talented, and we can't wait to share this one with you guys, because I know you guys, like, can't see her because she has, like, the most contagious smile, but you will hear it through her voice. So everyone, this is Celecia Thomas.
Eli!
I love you. Oh my god, I'm so excited.
I freaking miss you so much.
I know, I miss you too. But I'm so happy we're doing this right now.
You miss me too?
Yes, I miss you. Oh my god, Celecia, there's so many things that we want to talk about with you, and I realize that I've never asked you any of these, so I'm so excited. Oh.
Hi, Sydney, by the way.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you, girl.
So, Celecia, you got your start working at Disney, and you were performing as Tiana singing at Disney parks. I mean, like, that's nuts. Lately, like, we've actually had a few guests that have done the same thing, just, like, with other characters and stuff. And, like, it's been, like, a trend, but we want to hear from you, like, what did you learn from, like, being a princess, first of all, and what is the day in the life of being a princess?
Oh my gosh, well, it was so much fun. It was literally my dream freaking job. I'm like, every day in college, I wanted to work at Disneyland, and I auditioned for that freaking park so many times, and I got cut from Princess Tiana 7 times. And so for this audition, I was like, I almost didn't even go because I'm like, they know who I am. I know they know who I am because I did work at the park doing something else. And It never worked out. And for that one, I was the last one seen because I had class that day. So I was late to the audition. Last one seen for the day. By the time they saw me, they asked for a 4-bar cut.
Oh my God.
Oh, goodness. A 4-bar cut. It started with a 32-bar cut. And then there were so many people that they asked for a 4-bar cut. So I had a solid 4-bar cut that I could hold out the notes, you know, like being dramatic. I held out and I didn't know the rest of the song. And they didn't cut me off, and I made up the words to the rest of the song. and then I got a call back, and then it's from Downtown where the folks are broke. At the beginning when they said alarm, and I just held out all those notes, but I didn't actually know the song. Work. I got a call back the next day, and then I got the show, and it was so much fun. And automatically I was like, okay, Salacia, just because you're like literally a princess, do not act like a princess because nobody has time for that.
I can't.
You know, I'm like trying to dress myself as much as I can. They're like, girl, bye. but honestly, oh gosh, going to work was like, I cannot wait for the next show. Like, just like, oh, waiting. Like, we had so many breaks. We had 5 shows a day and everything else for the 8 hours. The show was like 23 minutes. So everything else, we were just like watching football, watching Disney movies, hanging out. And I just couldn't wait. The most valuable lesson I learned from working at Disneyland, I would say, is that by our 5th show, sometimes we would be tired. It's like a long freaking day. And they taught us, they're like, you guys, just so you know, even though it's your 5th show for the day, it might be somebody's first show that they're seeing at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And they might have paid a lot of, they might have been saving for a year or more to bring their family here. And so you guys need to bring the magic as much for the 5th show as you do for the 1st show. Mm. And I've never forgotten that. And that's why on Broadway, I'm like, we only do one a day. Let's freaking do this thing. Like, oh, balls to the wall, all out energy, because it's only one a day. Like, let's do this. And obviously, you guys both know 8 times a week is a lot. It's a lot. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, at least it's, what's 8 times 5?
exactly. You know?
So that is my biggest lesson, is always keeping every show fresh, because you never know who you're influencing or impacting in the audience.
Yeah, especially like in a character like Tiana, like that was really cool.
I love that.
So like, was 5 the most you would do in a day?
Oh, no. When I worked over at California Adventure, we had 8 shows a day. I
did. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was in a show called 5 and Dime.
So the amount of shows the normal Broadway actor does in a week, you did in a day.
Yeah. And the show in 5 and Dime was a longer show, and I was the only vocalist. So it was way more singing. Oh, yeah, and more shows. I was like, this is way more work. But like, I'm the star. Let's do this thing.
And then when you got to Broadway, you're like, man, I'm a pro at this.
Oh my god, I
can't. I'm like, let's do
that's
it.
That's too good.
It's so fun.
So we gotta talk about how you are originally from California, but you moved to New York City.
Yeah.
And you moved to New York City because while you were in New York City, a homeless man told you to move to New York City. And then a literal week later, was it? You were cast in the first national tour of Beautiful the Carole King musical?
Not far from that. Yeah, Sydney. I was visiting New York and I just like needed a break from Disney. So I went out to New York I was like 30 days sleeping on my friend's couch for 30 days. I paid my half of the rent, but I still was there. Oh my goodness. Disney didn't know I was out there. And yeah, while I was exploring, like everything was brand new and I was exploring everything. And my goal was every day, just go get lost. And then use your GPS to get home later. I fell in love. Like the first day that I got to New York, it was like Disneyland on crack. It was a whole city of the same energy that I got from Disney.
It's pretty magical.
Yeah. It's pretty freaking magical. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting for the train. And a homeless man sat down next to me. Yeah. And his eyes twinkled. He looked straight into my eyes and I looked straight into his. And he's like, I don't know who you are, but you need to move here and you need to do it now. And I remember my whole body was covered in goosebumps. And I was like, that's really all I needed to hear. I know that the packaging is not what I expected, but I'm going to think about this for the next couple hours. And I did. And that night I put my notice in for Disneyland. And It was a 2 weeks notice. I literally booked a round trip ticket to California, back to New York, and I was back in the city 2 weeks later. And I'd sold everything except for my car. And so my parents just kept my car. But I got rid of my apartment, my boyfriend, all like clothes that didn't fit in 2 suitcases. in the week I got back to New York, I heard about a show called Beautiful. And I didn't know that they were in the final week of casting. They'd been casting it for months. And my friend Deshaun, who was in Motown at the time, was in final callbacks for Beautiful. And I saw Motown that night, like one of the first nights that I was back in New York. And he was like, I'm in callbacks for Beautiful. You could be in that. You should ask your agents about that like tonight. And I did, and they said they probably couldn't get me in. And the next day, they sent me all the sides and said, you have one more day until your audition. Don't mess it up. And I went, yeah. And I watched the show that night and loved it, fell in love. I decided, even if I don't get in this show, this is my new favorite show. I love it. I was in the back of the balcony, and it was just – I mean, everybody, even the audience says this after the show, and it's so dumb, but I'm saying the same thing. They're like, it really was beautiful. Yeah. Like, it really is. And I went in for the audition the next day, and I felt good about it. And that was my first night bussing tables in a restaurant. I'm like, oh my gosh, like last week I was a literal princess and now I'm the garbage woman. What the heck, man? And like truly. And when I finished my my restaurant shift, which I was not good at, by the way, I looked at my phone for the first time for the whole night. My phone was totally blown up. My texts, my calls, my voicemail was full, my emails, my agents, and the casting office in New York was trying to get a hold of me saying, you have a final callback. Can you go back tomorrow?
Oh,
like, God. Like 9 hours later when I saw, like, I'm like, oh, yes, yes, yes. And I went back, and after the weekend, I told my agents, I was like, it felt good about it. And they said, great. We just got word they're going in between you and one other girl. We should know more right after the weekend. So all weekend, I was like,
wow. That's
and
insane.
Literally, the show was in my life for the next 5 years.
Wow. All I have to say about that is that man was a spirit guide or something.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like he was totally an angel. I honestly do. Like, and I've met other angels in New York, and it's so cool, like, their entrance into my life and then how they leave. It's like, you literally just came to drop this message to me, and now you're gone. Like, literally, when I – after that homeless man told me, you need to move here, you need to do it now, the train was pulling into the station while he was saying – like, right after he said that, I got on the train. He did not get on. As the doors were shutting, I'm looking at him through the glass doors, and he's literally mouthing the words, good luck.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And I know. Yes. Yes. I'm like, who are you?
Full body chills. Oh, my gosh.
Right? That's insane. Couldn't have made that up. I'm like, I think that I am talented. I think I am cute, but I am like not that the bomb, and I am not that gorge. You know what I'm saying? Like that to me was
you
totally,
are, but
that was God's timing. That was something that had not like. Do you know what I mean? Like that was just a higher power, I think, at work.
Yeah. Something divine happened there.
Yeah.
Wait, was Beautiful the first Broadway show you ever saw?
No, because I was in New York a couple weeks prior, and I was seeing everything, Eli. I saw everything. So when I auditioned for Beautiful, you know, all those black girls, honey, they were all in the shows that I had just seen.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like, I just stage doored you and you and you and you. And now I'm auditioning next to you. What am I doing here?
Oh, my God. Truly. That's crazy. I hate that too. Like you always like when you are at an audition and like you have like the other people that are auditioning, you're always like, oh my God, you get psyched out and you like make up stories in their head about the other people. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah. And P.S. also one of the shows that I'd seen before then, my timing might be off, but I don't think it was Pippin.
Shut up. That's
and
so
guess
crazy.
Who signed my playbill?
Uh-uh.
Baby. Eli Tokash.
No.
Years before I officially worked with you.
Oh my God.
And Carly Hughes, who I didn't know who she was, who originated the track that I ended up doing on tour and Broadway. Yes. She was the leading player.
Oh my God. I love her.
Yeah, I love her and I love you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you were the kid in the show. And you know, it's also so, I was thinking about this while you were saying this, is we probably wouldn't be talking right now if it weren't for that man.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because I wasn't going to move to New York right then.
Yeah. That's crazy.
There's no way. I was like waiting for all my ducks to be in a row, to be ready for everything to be perfect, for my contract to be up with Disney, for my lease to be up with my apartment, for people to give me permission and tell me that it was a smart move to leave everything in California and go to New York. That was like, when is that ever going to happen? Never. Mm. It's never going to be the perfect time. And if he didn't tell me, you need to do this now, there's no way I would have done it right then. There's no way.
Listen, and the relationship that I've made. Props to you for like listening to him and being like, hey, yeah, this is the time. Great. Yeah, let's do it. Like,
yeah, for
that's
taking
crazy.
It as like a sign.
Dang. Yeah. I mean, it was scary. It's easier to talk about it in hindsight because it's like,
sure.
Yes, I did the right thing.
Yeah, right.
But my people were scared for me. Yeah, they were like, you're what?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Craziness. Okay, so then you're on tour, right? With Beautiful on Broadway, just, you know, just casually going from state to state. And sure enough, you are like crowned Miss California or whatever. Oh, so like, what is that? Like, you're on tour and then you're crowned Miss California? Like, how do you do that while you're on tour?
So here's the thing. First of all, I'm very like workaholic, love anything theater. I'm literally a theater kid who ended up in a show. So I'm like, oh my gosh, everything is so cool. Okay. Well, finally, when I was like, okay, I can do this show in my sleep. All right. I don't have to be so anal about every little thing. I was like, I'm going to run in a pageant.
Oh my
God.
Let's
do this. My first vacation was I took a week off and went to DC to run for Miss World America. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Get our makeup done every day at 5 a.m. That part was not fun. And just be glamorous and like be a girl. I love that. I just love it. And you know, it was Miss World America is a very renowned pageant in the world. Here in America, no one really cares because every year America sends a model to represent the United States. And so that year, it was the second year that they had held a pageant here in the States. And so because it was like new to us, it was like a different setup. And they had girls come as delegates, national delegates to the national pageant. And so there were multiple girls from like the same state. And so how it worked was if you scored the highest out of the girls from your state, then you will win your state title. And that is how I ended up winning for Miss California. And
that's
so I had lost the Miss World America pageant, but I still had so much fun. And I came back to tour and then got a phone call saying, hey, you scored the highest from the girls from California. You are Miss California.
Oh my God.
I'm like, this is awesome.
What did that mean to you?
Well, it's something like I have done pageants for so long, and my mom hated when I did pageants because if ever I lost, she would take it way harder than I did because I loved it. I'm like, in the Miss America system, even when you lose, you get scholarship money. Period. Mm. I'm like, wait, you mean if I get first runner up, I get almost all the things that the winner gets except the responsibility? Oh, let's do this. Like I made so many friends. I made so much money for college. I had so much fun. And it would always like whenever I did a pageant, I would be in the best shape of my life. I would know what was going on in the world because you can't live under a rock or else you won't survive the interviews. And and so to like, I won Miss Fullerton way back when, and that was such a fun experience and I loved it. But that was the only title I'd won. I'd run in so many pageants, just like I'd auditioned for Disney a million times. So winning Miss California was like, this is so cool. It's so awesome, especially since it's the most beautiful crown I'd ever seen. And while I was, they knew I was on tour and they were okay with that. When I was going through California, I spoke at so many schools up and down the state, where whatever city we were in. And when I was in other states, I would meet up with my sister queens, Miss Colorado. I'm like, hey girl, I'm in town. Let's do a photo op. Or like in Maryland, like, hey, I'm here. Let's hang out. Like, it was the perfect setup.
That's and all of this while on tour.
Yeah, literally, you're just on vacation for a week and go, hey, I'm going to sign up for the world's pageant. What? Girl, so now you're like a pageant baby, and then you win Miss California, and then you're a Broadway star. Like, what? What a life. And you were a Disney princess. Like, come on. Oh my you're just gosh. Thriving.
I love you, Eli.
I love you, too. Oh, my God. It's too good.
So after touring the nation, you did a little show in Chicago called Trevor the Musical with Eli Tokash. And, I mean, what an incredible musical. What an impactful musical.
Yeah.
And you had – what was it like embodying the true legend Diana Ross?
Intimidating. Yeah. And I didn't realize how intimidating it was going to be. Diana Ross's fans are, like, truly fanatics. And they – like, people who love her – like people love the Super Bowl. Like, people love the Tony Awards. I'm one of those people. There are people who love Diana Ross like that and who have been to – over 200 of her concerts. And, you know, and so when those fans were in the audience, I'm like, girl, you better step it up, honey. Like, especially since they saw the show multiple times. It was like, I've never been in that kind of a position, portraying a role of an iconic person like that before. Mm-hmm. So it was absolutely a learning experience, and but also fun because I love gowns. I love a look, honey. Yeah. And that was kind of what the show was, you know. And we ended up seeing her in concert while the show was going on.
Oh my God. Sorry, continue. This is the craziest story.
So, a small group of us, three of us, went to Hammond, Indiana to see Diana Ross perform live, and I did everything I could to meet her. Literally, I, like, talked to my people. I was like, can my people talk to her people? Everything. I, like, reached out to the VIP. I tried to tweet her. I did everything. And when we got to the venue, I was like, hi, I'm Salisha Thomas. I wrote in. They were like, oh, we know who you are. We tried. We tried for her to meet you. And it's going to be a no. I was like, oh, man. That's okay. Honestly, I'm just glad that she's alive and thriving, that I can see her in real life while I'm alive and portraying her. And so so I'm sitting in the back of the theater, not with my friends, and because they had gotten their tickets way beforehand and I just got the cheapest ticket I could. While I'm watching the show, I just got this very uncontrollable urge and nudge to get up and get closer. And I am a rule follower. I'm like, this is my seat. I paid for the seat. I need to stay in the seat. And everything in me was like, pick up your things and go. I'm like, okay. And so eventually I picked up all my things and I was like, excuse me, trying to get out to the aisle. No idea what I was going to do. And there was a crowd of people way at the front, but I was like in the back of the house. And I found my way going up to where the crowd was. And the craziest thing, the crowd started to split. I did not like move anybody. I did not force my way. It was like every step that I took, people just moved out of my way. Not on purpose. They didn't even know I was there. It was just like the actual sea parted just organically. And the next thing I knew, I was at the lip of the stage. I'm like, how did I get here? Oh my gosh. I'm literally in the front row, like standing at the stage, and nobody, I didn't force my way here. And then security came out and was like, everybody go back to your seats. Well, there was two seats right in the second row on the aisle. And I slid right in. I was like, it's okay. If somebody tells me to move, I'll go back to my seat. Nobody did. The next thing I know, I'm back in the aisle dancing at the lip of the stage. And Diana Ross, the real Diana Ross, looks down at me from the stage and says, do you want to come up here and dance with me? Oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, yes, yes. There were no stairs to get to the stage. A bouncer comes out from stage right and literally lifts me up. I give him all my dead weight. He lifts me up onto the stage. I get my bearings and I stand up and I just remember looking over to my left and here is this freaking goddess. I'm standing next to her on the stage and her eyes are literally they're just so big. They're so big. They're the biggest eyes I've ever seen. So much hair, so much material. And she's like, come on, girl, dance. And I'm like, and I start to dance, but I look out to the audience like, can you believe, oh my God, what's happening? And she starts laughing. She's like, dance, girl, dance. And so I'm literally dancing with Diana Ross. And then she hugs me and she says, how are you going to get off the stage? And I was like, I don't know. And then a bouncer catches me from the ground. And that was.
Little did she know that you were embodying her. In another show. I know. Like, that's crazy.
I know. My dad was like, did you give her a pamphlet? No! No, I did not have time to tell her about my show.
Oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
It was awesome.
Once again, that's something divine happened there.
Truly. Truly, like the nudge, truly. Honestly, the correlation between the homeless man and that time at Diana Ross is the nudge. If I would have ignored the nudge, it would have left me restless.
Right.
It would have, yeah. I know that I would not have had any peace. I would have had more anxiety ignoring it.
Mm. Good on you for following that. Because honestly, that takes an insane amount of bravery.
Seriously.
You know, I'm just like I'm trying to figure out, okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
What are these feelings, and what else, what other opportunities are out there that maybe doesn't make sense, but that I'm feeling a nudge to do? And so I'm like learning, because there are times when I'm like, is that the voice? And then it's totally off. And I'm learning to distinguish between, okay, when I get this, like when my stomach turns like this, that means this. When I get goosebumps, that means this. When I feel heat in my body, that means this. Like, it's such a weird thing because it's not like people don't really talk about that, you know? Right. Like, oh, that, yeah. That, like, it's so kind of woo-woo and kind of weird. Sure. But I'm like, there is something to that.
Hey, it has served you right thus far.
Yeah, yeah. Like, God, teach me your voice so that I know every single time. And there have been some things that I'm like, I don't know if this is the best move for me. Everyone is telling me don't do this, but my gut says I have to do this. And so if that feeling tells me to do it, I'm just like, Yep.
Well, yeah. Let's see where this leads
me. Let's see where this leads.
It'll be an adventure.
Truly.
It's seriously like everything happens for a reason, you know? Like, and if you don't like listen to that, you could miss out on like a whole opportunity. It's crazy.
You could miss out. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then like there's people like I was talking to Sydney earlier and we were like, could you imagine if some homeless person came up to you and said, you need to move to New York? I would laugh. Like I was and like you took it and were like running with it. Like it's incredible. Like I would have missed out on that opportunity.
I think it's easy to like you're not wrong for that. It's like it's logically what I did was completely illogical. Mm-hmm. But I really do feel like, you know, and even if it's not God that you believe in, if it's something else or you call it something else, whatever, like I do believe that the universe, for me, it's the Holy Spirit, but like they're always trying to, it's trying to communicate with us in whatever way it can get to you. That is, there are signs. I don't think they're just there for me. I think there are signs set out for everybody and it's, do you listen to it? Or nah.
I believe that 100%. Yeah.
But like it's up to you to.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's easier to choose the safer path. But then you end up with a whole lot of, man, I should have. Or what would have happened if. But you at least have the position that you're in is it was like you feel safe, you know. And as humans, we kind of want that security. It's scary to take risks. Because you don't ever know if you're going to fall on your face or not.
True.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's like a very personal
thing.
Yeah.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's right. Hey! Wayne Gretzky, baby.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so during Trevor. Okay, Salisha, we have way too many good times during Trevor. But there is one time in particular that I will never forget. The day you found out that you would be making your Broadway debut. Salisha, I've never seen someone more happier than like you. Like you legit like pulled me aside and were like, I have to tell somebody. And you like were just, I mean, the glow. You were literally, as soon as you walked into the room, I was like, something's up, something's up. And you pulled me aside and I was like, shut up. And seeing you so happy, I knew I had to like be there for your Broadway debut. And so I came.
Oh, you were!
And I watched in the audience, but I want to hear from your perspective what it was like to just be opening and performing on the Sondheim Theater.
Like literally it's the best day of my life. Okay, so the day that I found out, Eli, we were in tech rehearsal and I got a text. I found out in a text. I looked at my phone and said, yes. My agent, I didn't have his number. Don't ask me why I did not have his number. And he texted me, he's like, if you want it, it's yours earlier. And then when I looked over at my phone, it said, offer coming on Monday. Congrats. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I had to go on stage and do the end of act one. I'm like, When I made my Broadway debut, it was overwhelming in all the best ways. I had so many flowers backstage. I'm in the ensemble. Okay. My little dressing station was full. That my neighbor in the dressing station was like, you can put some of your flowers on mine. I had 19 bouquets on like my little
you had a whole garden.
I had an entire botanical garden. My mom on my first day the girls had written, Chris Roberts in particular, had written on my mirror, welcome to Broadway, Salisha. I just felt so welcomed.
Yeah.
It felt like this is a day that I have waited for and have prayed about and hoped for so long since I saw my first Broadway show, Wicked, 12 years ago. And here it is. And I felt the love. And right before I went out on stage, I was so close to breaking down in tears because I just was like, we did it. We did it. Like, my parents are out there. I'm like, you guys did this too. Like, and you were there. Mark Woods was there. Mark Bruni was there, which is like,
he had directed as many people as the flowers.
As the flowers. Like, yeah, like just feeling the support, and also like Mark being there, I was like, oh my gosh, our director from Trevor, like that's so nice, but also he directed this show, so like also Sleisha, like don't mess this up, like do you know? I just felt so much love, and I wanted to break down in tears, and I was like, Sleisha, you cannot cry right now because you're about to make your Broadway debut in 5, 6, 7, 8. The hair person backstage, she made it a point. She pulled me aside. She was like, I tell all the new girls this. Make sure that you live in the moment tonight because it's going to go by so fast. So really try to take in every moment so that you can remember this. And I'm so glad she said that because I did live in the moment, and I, like, even though I can't really articulate how I was feeling because it was just so overwhelming, I just think about it. I'm covered in chills thinking about it, and I get so excited that I can't even really describe it. I just have always loved Broadway. It's like my favorite thing in the whole world. And now I'm in a show that is my favorite show. What? Is this about real surreal life?
Yeah, and it was like another full circle moment, you know, like just like the fact that you did it on tour and now you're doing it on Broadway and like making your Broadway debut in it. Like it's just crazy. Yeah. And it did not matter whether or not you were in the ensemble or you were the leading lady, but every time you were on that stage, you were getting a applause or some kind of yell from somebody. I'll never forget that. Every time you came out, someone was cheering.
Oh my gosh, it was so cool. And you know what, like, it made me feel like, so when I left tour, I loved tour. I did not leave the beautiful tour because I didn't like it. I left because I was like, you know what, I really want to give New York a chance. Even though I don't have anything lined up, I really want to give New York a chance. And the day that I decided that, I got a call asking if I would play Diana Ross in Trevor. And I was like, okay. cool. And so the timing just worked out, even in terms of like Trevor to Broadway. We closed Trevor on a Sunday. I moved to New York on Monday. I had rehearsals Tuesday, Wednesday, and made my Broadway debut on Thursday. Just
wow,
the timing was just so perfect. Oh my God.
You literally like haven't stopped. You've just been going and going, and it's incredible.
Q 2020 pandemic. Something like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this unemployment feeling? Well, here we are.
Right. Yeah. You were in rehearsals for Once Upon a One More Time, the Britney Spears musical, when the pandemic happened, right?
Yeah. And honestly, it was so cool. It was so much fun. And oh, Eli, I have details, but I'm like, I'm not sure if I should say them all on here, but I can. I'm like, you can edit this out if you want. But like on the day that I got the offer for Britney, I'd also gotten the offer for Trevor.
Right.
And
you did tell me that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, shoot. But honestly, I didn't know that they were going to cast me. It seemed like they were like about to recast everybody. So I was like, my heart will go on. And I tried to move on emotionally so that like if they recast me, I would still be okay. And so I'd fallen in love through the audition process for the Britney Spears musical. And when it was offered, I was like, oh, yes. Right. Even though I was cast as a swing in Britney in Once Upon a One More Time. And our cast, we got so close in the 11 days. We had 11 days of rehearsal before Broadway shut down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? Half of my cast was sick during rehearsal.
Oh my God.
They could have COVID. Oh my God.
Could have. When the 2 weeks after we all got laid off, people were chiming into our group chat saying like, hey guys, can't taste, can't smell.
Oh,
hey guys,
no.
Can't breathe. Like, all of the things, like, one by one, one by one, people were saying that they had it or they had a positive test result. I was like, within the 2 weeks. So I was quarantining in New York City thinking, who's next? Mm. Just kind of waiting to die.
No.
No.
Yes. Oh, I was by myself. And there was nobody who I was quarantining with. No one to be like, you're okay. You're okay. Every time I looked at my Facebook, it was like people who had it and the hospitals had turned them away. Because you guys know the New York City hospitals were full at maximum capacity. People were being turned away. So I was like, even if I had it, I'm going to die in my apartment by myself. I was so scared. I was so scared. I was so scared. But I never got it. And I'm like, thank you, God, so much. Thank you, God, so much, because I was with everybody.
Right.
We started every rehearsal with hugs, group hugs. Everybody hugged everybody. We were eating together in close proximity. We were hanging out. Like, it was truly a miracle that I did not get it.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. And speaking of quarantine, pretty much during quarantine, like me and Eli, you created your own podcast called Black Hair in the Big Leagues, and you have 7 episodes out. Yes. What's that been like?
Oh my gosh, Sydney. It's so much fun. I love it so much. Earlier this year, I wrote a blog and I was like, I'm writing a Broadway musical. I might start a podcast. Okay, I wrote like a whole stanza of a half of a song. And I was like, I'm not starting no podcast. Bitch, I'm about to be sitting up on this couch, Netflix and chilling. And fast forward, I was like, something happened. And I was like, I need a change of pace. I need a change of my energy. I need to refocus my energy. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a podcast. I had a friend who had interviewed me on her podcast. And I was like, girl, I'm so proud of you. How did you do this? And she walked me through everything. I was like, so now I know how to do it. Now I just need an idea. Mm-hmm. And I, like, literally that night, I had a dream. And I woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, it's called Black Hair in the Big Leagues. That's it.
And, oh, my God.
And I wrote that down. And the next day, I was like, all right, I made a list of all my friends, Black friends on Broadway. Who I'm like, we can talk about hair all day because that's what we were doing in the dressing room. Mm. We can talk about hair all night, all day. And here's another thing. When Black people talk about hair, we are not just talking about hair. We are talking about how we're showing up in the world, in the industry, on and off the stage. There's a lot that we've not addressed in the Broadway community because it wasn't a part of the conversation before George Floyd died and was murdered. And oh, here we go. And so that it's talking about hair, it's like it's a fun thing to listen to, but it's also like, obviously if you're Black and, or have any kind of textured hair, it's like, oh my goodness, you can learn a lot from it. But also if you're not Black, you're going to learn a lot about Broadway you're also going to hear Black stories without anybody trying to shove it down your throat. Because that's not what we're trying to do.
I've listened to all 7 episodes and I am absolutely obsessed. Like, literally, I can't stop listening because it's true. Like, it's not like if you're Black, you're like not the only one that should be listening to this. Like, white people need to like educate themselves. And you, like, the way you just like guide your podcast talking about Broadway and talking about hair and then talking about like Black excellence and the Black experience, like, it's incredible. Like, you just do it so well, and it's not forced, Eli, like you said. It's so good.
Thank you.
I love it. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that means so much to me. And it, like, literally, it does. It really does. Like, when I started making it and sitting down with my friends, I just kind of figured like only like Black girls like me would listen to it. And I am always so surprised when people who don't look like me write and tell me that they've been listening and what they think. I'm like, what? Wait, what? What? Mm-hmm. Like, I wrote a blog a while ago about like how to grow your hair. And the white girls came out of the woodworks being like, oh my gosh, I love step 7 and step 10. So I tried yada yada. I was like, wait. What? I just wasn't expecting, I don't know, but I'm so glad that it works.
Yes.
You know, for, it doesn't have to just be people who look like me. And so I've had a lot of fun working on that. So much fun. And you know what I love about it the most?
What?
I'm able to gather people who I've looked up to, whether it's a curl crush or people who I've just always wanted to meet. Because I've recorded about 50 episodes as of today.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, I just like my calendar keeps getting filled up and I'm like, all right, well, might as well knock it out. Maybe this will be my last week. This will be the end of season one. This will be the end of season one. And then three more people will be like, oh, can I be on? Or so I'm like, yeah, 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 sure. And so when I'm talking to these people, I have the opportunity to ask them everything that I've been wondering, but has been kind of like, you don't ask another person this or whatever. Now it's like, I'm not just asking on my behalf. I'm asking on behalf of other people who don't know what to do with their hair, or even if it's in the industry, like I just, oh, I'm releasing my episode with Crystal and Lloyd tomorrow. And one of the things I asked her, oh, she's fabulous. She's wonderful. One of the things I asked her was like, well, what do you do about headshots? Because I'm trying to figure out, like, she always has her twists in that I've seen, and now she's rocking an afro, and she's rocked so many different looks, and she's able to break down, like, how she works as a Black woman, not having to have 20 different headshots.
Like, right.
Yeah. I can ask the things that I don't know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and just get the answers in a way where the person I'm asking is not offended at all.
Right. Like,
I mean, that's why your podcast is so important.
Exactly, because it's, like, not talked about enough, and that's, like, the fact that you're able to get that, like, advice is just incredible for yourself and for others.
Yeah.
But, like, also, for Crystal and Lloyd, is that as in, like, tomorrow as in, like, Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
So it's out today when maybe you when may be listening to this.
We both have we have the same release day.
Oh yeah.
Thursday buddies.
I was gonna pick Tuesday, you guys, but then the election.
No,
was like,
we're honored. We're honored to have the same release day as you. If you're coming, if you're listening to this episode first, immediately go over to her podcast.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah, it's gonna be a two-part episode because
it's two parts.
Yeah, and she's really just so lovely. I just texted her today. I was like, because I didn't know her before before we interviewed.
Wow.
So it's so cool to like meet people who I'm like, I've always admired you.
Yeah.
And now, thank you for coming on my show. Let's be friends. Like, her voice is so welcoming and kind. And even editing her episode, I'm just like, dang, she's so likable. You know, she just really is. And
yeah. Do you have a dream guest that hasn't been on your podcast yet?
Oh, absolutely.
Audra McDonald. Oh, of course.
I mean,
absolutely.
You literally have had some of the coolest guests ever. Like, the fact that you had interviewed Todrick Hall and like Crystal and Lloyd, like, you're killing it. Like, so anyone who's interested in, like, learning about just, like, Black hair, Broadway, anything, like, go check that out because it's also got a lot of love for Broadway.
There's a lot of love. Like, I haven't released Todrick's episode yet or Alex Newell.
His episode
is one of my favorite ones. And also I ask the questions that I'm like, I'm wondering, what are your pronouns? Like, because sometimes, and I'm so glad he broke it down. He's like, you can call me she, you can call me he, you can call me they. Like, these are the things that I've wanted to know in real life, and being able to ask you like straight up, how do you prefer, and to hear it from your mouth. And his episode or her episode or their episode is truly one of my favorites. Just so fun and just so – he's open about a lot of things and it's –
oh, my God.
I'm excited. It's just fun. It's like something to be excited about while we're waiting for Broadway to come back.
Totally.
I love Alex Newell.
Did blogging ever have like a – did blogging ever impact your like – love, like, basically, like, when you were blogging, were you like, oh, I should do like an audio version of this
of my blog?
No, yeah, because, like, well, like, not, like, of your blog, but, like, just, like, your storytelling and everything. Did that have, like, any inspiration for starting the podcast?
No, I didn't even think about it. I was like, I like to write. The podcast was truly, like, well, there's nothing else to do.
And now you're busy every day, right?
And now I'm so busy, and I love it because it feels like such a, like, it feels like I'm a part of the community. Like, since we've all been separate for so long because of this pandemic, it feels like I'm having a coffee date with another, just like we're doing right now with the three of us. It feels like connecting with other people in the business. And obviously it's more than just business. Like, I love you so much, Eli, and all the things. And Sydney, you're so lovely. And it just feels like the community isn't so far away when we have these conversations. And that is really what motivated me. Like, I interviewed a friend or a cousin, and then I did the whole next week of interviews. I'm like, this actually feels really good. Even if I don't share the episodes, it's healing for me.
Yeah.
So that was really like my biggest motivator.
Yeah.
And she's with Broadway Podcast Network. So, like, shout
family.
Out to them.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Eli, for being like, I can reach out to my network. I literally was like, what's a network?
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yes. Oh, my God. Anything for you. I love you. This is a joy. I'm so happy you have a podcast, because I'm literally, your voice, like, just listening to you, like, I could do it all day. I just could.
Truly.
I love you. And, you know, I think one day I'll, like, open it up to where it's, or maybe have different facets so it's not just Black Hair in the Big Leagues, because there are so many people who I do want to talk to or bring on. And I'm like, well, it's a very specific title, so I feel like I have to have a certain type of person on right now. But I would like to open that up, and but I'm not sure how to do that yet and what it is. And it has to still be something that is specific enough for, like, just for it to matter. And so I'm still trying to work that out. I'm like, season two, what's that going
to
look like?
You need to, like, I mean, not going to, like, tell you what to do, but, like, just a suggestion. Oh. Like, just, like, I want to hear, like, more your stories. Like, there's stuff that I want to, I'm like, oh my God, wait, I'm kind of curious about that, about her experience.
Really?
Yeah. You, because you, I mean, like, look at this. Like, your life is, like, incredible. And, like, I don't know. I was just like, I want to hear more from Salisha.
Oh, my goodness. I kind of feel like when I talk about myself, it's like, who cares? Salisha, shut up. Like, that's truly how I feel. And the one of the reasons why I love having my own podcast is, like, it gives me an opportunity to ask a question and get out of the way. Like, Salisha, do not make this about you. Like, listen. Like, I'm really practicing, like, my active listening. And not, like, it's about somebody else. And I do have a lot of stories, but it's nice when I'm preparing for an episode to just be daydreaming about the person I'm about to interview, and to not be thinking about my own problems or my own stories, but to be thinking about somebody else and what's going to make them, like, blossom in my interview with them. Like, that is so gratifying to me.
You know what? I think that is the main thing I've learned from having this podcast, is I'm getting so much better at like, active listening. Because I always used to, I don't know if anyone else is like this, but I always used to, like, if someone was talking to me, my mind would literally be on the five different conversations around me of people I don't know. And I just, it was so hard for me to, like, focus and pay attention, be present, listen, you know, actively listening. And something that this podcast has taught me so much is honestly, that's so, it's kind of peaceful. It's kind of, I don't know, it's gratifying being able to just sit here and listen.
and to listen, because you can't zone out. You can't be thinking about your groceries, because if something is said, you want to be able to ask a follow-up question that you didn't previously write down.
Exactly.
You know, like, the most important thing in an interview is like being present. You don't even have to have all the perfect questions. You just have to be present. That's what I'm learning. It's like, oh yeah, same thing for Broadway. Yeah. You don't have to worry about the next scene or if you know the lines for the next whatever. You have to be present in the moment, or else it won't matter to anybody.
Right. Yeah.
It won't work. 100%. So I'm like, honey, we're growing. We're growing and learning in this pandemic, honey.
Oh my God. I love you.
To wrap all of this up, we have one final question for you. And that is, if you had a chance to speak with your younger self before all of this happened, before you moved to New York, before you started working professionally, before, you know, before you were a princess, what would you say?
If I had a chance to speak to my younger self, I would say, whenever, and this was advice that was actually given to me, and it's what I use now. Mm. Whenever faced with a fork in the road, you're going to end up wherever you're meant to end up. So choose the path that sparks the most joy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wherever you're destined to be or do, like, it's gonna happen. It's going to happen. You might as well choose the direction that is gonna make you the happiest in that moment.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Advice.
Oh, you're such a joy.
We love you so much. What the heck? Thank you so much for coming on. You have the most beautiful soul. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
I've had so much fun talking with you guys too. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome.
You're awesome.
Yes. Wow. Oh my God. Thank you for giving us so much to talk about, because your life is incredible. I love you.
I love you too. This is so cool. God. Thanks for asking me. You texted me like 2 days ago, Eli. I was like... Yes, I've been telling everybody this week. I was like, nope, busy. It's Thanksgiving week, y'all. Like, nope.
I know.
Nope. I've never said no so many times. And you text me, I was like, all I said was yes in all caps.
I know. You're the best. I felt so bad. I was like, we're never going to get a guest, because we had a guest like we reached out to one, and then like they never got back to us on like when they could do it, and we were like, shoot, we gotta find a guest. And then like, thank God you saved our lives, and we have a guest for this week, and we're so thankful for you and like having you on. It's been, I mean, it's been a long time overdue, because I wanted to have you on for a long time.
Yeah,
this is so cool, and I would have done it yesterday, but it was my dad's birthday, so I was like,
oh, yes, happy belated to your dad.
I know, I love him. He's so sweet.
Those balloons you got him were so cute, and just him the balloon and him on camera. It's too good. Oh my God!
I showed him. He was like, I look like an old man. Like, no, you don't, Dad.
Oh, I love your family. They're so funny. Thank you.
Thank you both so much.
Take a bow, Salisha Thomas.
Oh, take a bow. Oh my gosh.
She's the best. I mean, that was a lot we covered, and I mean, all of it was just, I don't know about you all, but I definitely enjoyed that episode. Her essence is just so contagious. She's one of the most positive, always smiling and always grateful. Like, just it's just the way she is and the way she carries herself. It's so contagious. And I was super excited to have her on, especially during our Thanksgiving episode, because, you saw how thankful she was and all of that. So I was just like, I knew it was a good guest.
Her essence truly is contagious. Like, all it takes is a minute of talking to her or listening to her, and you just can't help but feel like, I don't know, positive. You can't help but smile.
Yeah, and you, like, as soon as you like talk to her, you're like, oh my God, we're best friends. Like, literally from the second she says hi, she's just like, it's just so,
hi, we're best friends now.
Yeah, she's the best, and we're very thankful that we had her on. And she talked about like so many great things, and her podcast is just awesome. So please.
Oh, yeah. Go check it out right now.
Yeah, seriously. You don't even have to finish our episode if you don't want to. Go check out.
No, you can leave right now and go check out our podcast.
It's called Black Hair in the Big Leagues. And yes, it is part of the Broadway Podcast Network. So she's definitely podcast family. And so, yeah, we were just super excited to hear her journey because it's a pretty special one and a very unique
That's
one.
So special.
Yeah, and it's crazy how many full circle moments she had in her journey just to.
And it's crazy how many moments where she was like put, like she said, like there was a fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to go between, you know, her head and what other people were telling her, what she thought was logical or illogical, and then on the other side, what her heart was telling her to do and what her gut was telling her to do, and how every time she followed her gut, truly magical things blossomed from that.
Yeah, it was almost as if she was rewarded for like doing that and like kind of listening.
Interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'm just fascinated by her, and I was so excited to just ask her a bunch of questions that I was genuinely curious about, and I hoped you all listening enjoyed it and thought the same. So, Sydney has a word for us today, for today's, what is it? Like today's
like episode lingo? Episode, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just entertainment business lingo that you may or may not know.
Yes.
So being that it is Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving, you know, one of the things it's known for is food. And because Eli and I are hungry, I thought that today's lingo should be something called crafty. Now, if you don't know what crafty is basically, it's the play. It's normally used in TV and film, situations. It's normally used like on set. But crafty is literally the place where people go to get snacks. It's normally, in my experience, it's always been like this table full of food, like full of snacks of all sorts. And it honestly is my happy place on set.
Yeah. So, I mean, you may have heard it as crafty. You may have heard of it as craft services. And just because, I mean, you're on set for a long time in like 10 hour days, even more. So they always will provide a full course meal, and it's always the best food. It's so good, and they'll just have like snacks throughout the day, even when like the dinner is not like ready, like the main course, I guess you could say. So that's today's lingo, and you may have heard it, but we definitely wanted to do that one as it is Thanksgiving and we're just thinking about having turkey. Well, and for the vegetarians out there, like stuffing and mashed potatoes, those are all great things too.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait.
I'm hungry now.
Me too.
It's funny. Eli and I, when we were prepping for this podcast, we always like the day of, we always like to touch base and go through our questions, make sure they're in the order that we want them. And we just, you know, get all our ducks in a row. And we're also getting ready at the same time. And Eli was singing Blank Space by Taylor Swift.
As one does.
And that song, I think it came out in 2014. And it was such a throwback. It was just such an insane throwback because I remember listening to that all the time doing Fun Home. And every time I hear like Shake It Off or Blank Space or even a Christmas Story like music, even Hamilton, I'll just go back to like Fun Home and how magical that experience was. And it reminded me of, so you know how whenever you hear a sound or you smell something or even if you taste something, it just takes you back to a time. Well, every year when the Tony Awards puts out its nominations, all of the nominees go to a luncheon that the Tony Awards basically, I guess, like makes happen. It's the Tony Awards luncheon. And there you get to receive all of your, you get to receive like a plaque that said, that says you're nominated for a Tony. Well, this specific place has had such a specific smell. It was kind of like a woody smell, but it was just so specific. And I remember it. I didn't say anything about it, but I remember the smell. Well, years later, like 3 years later, I'm walking down the street with my mom, who was there the day the luncheon happened. So she was, she smelled the smell. And we were walking down the street, and all of a sudden, I smelled that smell. And I went, it smells like the Tony Awards. And she looks at me and she goes, oh my gosh, you're right. And we both realized that we associated the Tony Awards with that one smell. So literally, and we've smelt it a couple times since then. And every time we smell it, we'll be like, smells like the Tony Awards. And so I just thought that was interesting. The Tony Awards has a smell. I'm not sure if anyone else has been to the Tony Awards or a Tony Awards luncheon. I'm curious to know if you know what smell I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we thought it was fun because, like, we realized, you know, there's always something that we associate a past event with. And yeah. just when you said, you know, listening to Hamilton, like, I'll never forget just, like, every day at Finding Neverland, that was basically, like, our pre-show ritual was, like, rapping Hamilton. And it would just, like, get us so, like, pumped up and ready to go for the show. And it was just, like, so much fun. And, like, it's interesting that, like, when we hear that word, that's where our brain goes to.
So true.
Yeah, so it's fun.
It's also interesting because A Christmas Story specifically, my dad sometimes, normally it was my mom, but whenever my dad would come and pick me up for lunch on a two-show day, he would come and I was obsessed with, like, either for lunch I would have sushi, Pret, or just salad. And weirdly enough, I don't know why, but on the days that we got just salad, which is such a wonderful salad place, now I'm craving it, we would always go to like sit in our car and listen to A Christmas Story. So now every single time I eat just salad, I think of A Christmas Story and want to play A Christmas Story. And every single time I listen to A Christmas Story, I want just salad.
Wow.
I know.
That's funny. But yeah. So yeah. I guess I before we like wrap it up, I just want to say, you know, Thanksgiving. Sid, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for all of you listening to this and just like thankful for just the podcast in general. And I'm just so excited that, I don't know, it's the holiday spirit and I've been in a good mood lately. College apps are done and it's just been good.
And before we go, can you give an update
on
your health, your COVID situation?
Yes. I'm out of quarantine. I'm COVID negative. Yay. Thank goodness, because I mean, I still haven't gone out anywhere and I don't know. It's just been such an odd time. And yeah. I'm just, I'm just thankful that I'm done and nothing too serious happened. My family, my grandparents and them, they're all getting better as well. So I'm very thankful and very thankful for my family's health because it could have been a lot worse because this is so scary. So I just wanted to say like another thing I'm thankful for is Coca-Cola. No, I don't know. I'm
just not like, sponsored.
Not a sponsored ad read. I don't know. I'm just like rambling right now. I just can't wait for turkey and Coke and well, not cocaine though.
No. Oh my God.
Coca-Cola and just all the good eats tomorrow.
Yeah, same. And yeah, I'm thankful for being healthy. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my stuffed horse over here. I'm thankful for the podcast. I'm thankful for today and Salisha, who is such a wonderful guest. Yeah, I'm thankful, man.
There's lots to be thankful for.
Lots to be thankful for, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you all for listening to another episode.
Oh, we're thankful for you. Oh my gosh.
Don't worry, I already covered it.
Oh my gosh. But I should have, because we're so thankful for our listeners.
Definitely. So yeah, thank you for listening to episode 27 of Take a Bow. I know this is crazy. We love this and we hope you guys are enjoying it as much as we are. And don't forget to check out Black Hair in the Big Leagues.
Sick beat, am I right?
For our curtain call, we wanted to give a few special thank yous to Nikki Torsha and Cormac Collinon for our amazing music, Giselle Bustos for designing our logo, and Tessie Tokash and Sydney Lucas for editing our episodes.
Feel free to subscribe and leave a review on whatever platform you are currently listening to us from. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help of Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Brittany Bigelow, and Katie Rosen at the Broadway Podcast Network, as well as our top patrons, Henry Friedman, Brian Thompson, PCC, and Patrick McNamara.
Speaking of, if you enjoyed this week's episode of Take a Bow, go check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/TAB and become a patron today. Through our Patreon, you will form a relationship with us and get an inside look on what goes into this podcast.
To learn more about this podcast, visit bpn.fm/takeabow and follow us on Instagram at takeabowpodcast, where you can contact us with any feedback, suggestions, or questions and keep up with all things Take a Bow.
See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.